Several weeks ago, we had some very, very good material in a Sabbath school lesson that started the direction of what I'm going to share with you today. It started out with one little focus, and as I began to prepare that, it widened very, very dramatically. And the time that I spent doing that enlarged my understanding, and I hope yours, as I share what I found in God's Word. Your victory is assured. You know that. Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection said, "You have won because I won." But there is a path to that victory, and that path has purpose to it. And that purpose is the focus that you will see reoccurring throughout this a little bit. How come we're getting blacks in between each of these now, I wonder? That is, I think the devil has his hand in the technology today, folks. So just be praying that he does not interfere any more than just a minor interruption between each one. It is minor, let's not mind it. Okay, God is goal-oriented. You know that? We'll get back to that in a moment. When it comes to goals, there's a lot of folks in this group that enjoy sports. And you know the way to get good in sports is to train, right? You do that. If you're in music, you practice, Gail. You practice whatever it is you're doing over and over and over again until you think it's as good as you can get it. Perfect or not, it's as good as you can get it. But if you are talking about goals for heaven, if you are heaven-bound, God has a different path for you than just training and practicing. And we are going to look at these four words in more detail as we go through this. Believe, accept, trust, depend. Now, these are all verbs. These are action verbs. In some ways, these are things that you choose to do. So let's see what happens. Ah, no black. Satan has been defeated. God is goal-oriented. Paul said, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." That's from Philippians, New King James Version. Now, have you asked yourself, what is God's goal for you? Have you asked him that? Do you know the answer to that? Do you know his goal for you individually, personally? Think about that for a moment. He has one for you. He may have multiple goals for you. That is the way he is. He's multidimensional, just like you are, just like I am. So let's talk about the goals. Believe is one of those goals. It's an action you choose to make. You choose to believe. Matthew 9, 27 to 30 says this, "God's knowledge, wisdom, and love all operate to achieve his goal for you." How does that happen? Two blind men believe, and they see. You remember the story? He has just been talking to a lot of people and healing a lot of people, and these two blind men come up and say, "Please, help us." What do they call him? Do you remember what they called him? Son of David. They recognize his authority, and they believe in him. And Jesus asks them, "Do you believe?" And they have to say, "Yes." And they see. Now let's contrast that action with this one. Isaiah 43:10 says, "You are my witnesses, O Israel, says the Lord. You have been chosen to know me. Believe in me and understand that I alone am God." Now think about the two blind men. Were they part of Israel? Maybe so. But had they been chosen individually to receive this gift of sight? Well, maybe in God's providence they had been, but they did not know that. Did Israel know that they had been chosen? Of course they did. They'd been told that repeatedly. And they had been chosen not just to believe in him, but to know God and understand that he alone is God. And that contrast of him alone being God was important. After you believe in God, after you are convinced that it is true, what are you going to do about it? The next step is a choice you have to make. Accept Jesus as your Savior. Accept his guidance. And not everybody likes to be guided or controlled or directed. Some of us take to it a little better than others. Some of us like being directed in some things, but not in all things. But when it comes to this particular element, being guided by God is critically important. You remember the parable of the sower and the seed? All of the seed gets distributed, and it falls everywhere. But one area in particular is productive. It's called the good ground. Now, I just recently created some good ground to receive some seeds in my backyard at home, and I now have five little plots of hills of squash, and melon. And I just did the thinning yesterday so that I know that we're not going to have a whole lot of them coming up where they shouldn't. So I've got three little plants of melons and three little plants of squash coming up in these five hills. Well, I can tell you this is good ground. I planted them on a Tuesday, and by the following Sunday, they were already 2 or 3 inches high. Just shocking me as to how well they grew in that circumstance. Well, when you accept God, you are becoming that good ground that the seeds get planted into. And you produce in response to that. So be prepared. Accept his preparation for you. I can tell you that going through that sod and getting all the plant material and all the rocks out and all of the things that were necessary to get it to the point where we had a spot for the seeds did not happen simply and easily. It takes effort. It takes time. And God does that for us, each individually in our own way. And to accept is a choice that you need to make. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, you accepted what we said as the very word of God, which of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. Who is saying this? This is Paul writing to the believers in Thessalonica. New believers, really, but they accepted what Paul presented from God. And now he is saying that what they accepted is continuing to work in them because they believe. So you believe, you accept. Let's see what else we have here. You accept his purpose, not just that he is true, but he has a purpose for you in everything that happens to you. Now remember, we asked the question earlier, what is his goal for you? What is his purpose for you? This is part of the living process that we go through in a Christian's life. Romans 8:28 is a very familiar verse to almost all of you. I would say every one of you knows this one. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Most of the time when I hear this verse quoted, we concentrate on that first section of it. All things work together for good. Oh, we love that. But there's a reason for them working. There is a purpose behind it, and it says, to them who are called according to our, to them who are the called. Note that article, the called. That's identifying a people, not just an action of calling. It's a people who are being called according to his purpose. Again, he has a purpose for every one of us. Are you ready for that purpose? Are you committed to that purpose? You have better know what it is if you're going to want to follow through on it. That purpose includes giving yourself to God. This, to me, may be the crux of the entire revelation that we're talking about here today. Give him every fiber of your being with absolutely no reservation. Then take a huge deep breath and settle into him, because you absolutely know that you can totally trust him when Satan attacks. That knowledge that you have is so valuable. It gives you confidence in him beyond any question, any doubt. And when you have that knowledge, that trust, that no matter what happens, he's there for you, then you move on into the rest of the trust. Trust him? What does Malachi say about our relationship with him? Prove me now, he says. Prove me now. So, prove him. How do you prove him? My thought in this is that when you have proven him and you're certain of him, you trust him more than you trusted him before. Now, look at the little illustration there. If you think of a single tiny little thread, you think that's pretty weak. And you put more threads together, and you wrap them together, and what do you have? You have a string. And then you wrap the strings together, and you wrap them to the point where they begin to build into what? A rope. You have strength. That's the point of this. You have something that has value to you, strength that will carry you through. But that strength is built each choice you make. Every choice does one thing or another for you. It either builds in the right direction or it doesn't. Each choice is a thread building the connection to salvation. What's that connection? That connection is God knew communicating. Communication is my business. I do that in just about everything that I have in life. Most of you do a lot of communicating. Maybe it's not targeted communication. God's communication with you is targeted with a very, very simple point. It's His goal for you. Now let's see how we move on beyond this part of the trust. Each choice to trust Him strengthens the connection that holds us close to Him. Each choice to prove Him in new ways. When I say new ways, I'm asking you to open your thoughts to doing things you've never tried before. Step out beyond your comfort zone to something that you, I don't know if I can do that. I've never done that before. Be willing to try something you've never tried. And that doesn't have to be limited to something in the spiritual realm. You can build your own psyche of outward working in other areas. Develop yourself. You can learn new skills. You can learn new knowledge. And there is a purpose in all of that. But when we talk about this, the choice to trust Him strengthens the connection that holds us close to Him. Each choice to prove Him in new ways enlarges our understanding of His power. His power is your power. Remember that from the Sabbath school lesson, I think it was this week or the last week, that He gives us, one of His gifts to us is His power when we choose Him. His power, He's offering it to us. We have that as a gift that we can accept. See His purpose. Now we're getting to one of those sections that is not necessarily comfortable, not necessarily desirable. But there are tough times. I know several of us in this congregation have had severe, tough times in our lives. Sometimes it seems hard to get through them. And you've heard about some of them over the years. Does God want to make life tough for you? Well, we know that Satan wants to make life difficult for you. He wants to make life difficult for you in an eternal point of view. He wants you out of God's life in the long run. God wants you in His life for the long run. So look at what Malachi 3:3 says. He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. So there's a purpose here, isn't there? There is a goal involved, and it's a life of righteousness. Offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Now the Levites were just one of the tribes, but they were the spiritual leaders for Israel. So they had a special responsibility. Their responsibility was to make sure that everybody else stayed close to God. Now, they needed to do that by example. You need to do it by example. Your example may be much more powerful and influential than words you speak. It could be the expression on your face. If you've got a smile on your face most of the time, will that be a good example? I hope so. If you are pleasant and happy, if you're joyful, that's a good example. And if while you're in that kind of a mood, others hear you say things that talk about how you got into that condition, that may have credibility that you would not have if you were a down-in-the-dumps person that wasn't very happy. So when you are with people and you want them to be like you, you've got to give them the reason to want to be that way. Happiness, joy, geniality, friendship. You know what it takes to have people happy with you. It's nothing new. When you are in that mode and you offer them Jesus and his righteousness, there might be a listening thought there for them to hear. They might be ready to listen. But the word purify implies that there is something happening that wasn't necessarily easy. Let's explore that a little bit. The process, the purifying process. From volume 3, page 51 of the testimonies, this is the process, the refining, purifying process, which is to be carried on by the Lord of hosts. The work is most trying to the soul, but it is only through this process that the rubbish and defiling impurities can be removed. Our trials are all necessary to bring us close to our Heavenly Father in obedience to his will. That paragraph is full of challenge and full of promise. To me, this was a very, very, very difficult one to say, I'm going to share this. But it was a week ago in your Sabbath school lesson. This was the theme of one of the day's lessons: purification through suffering. And that's not easy, is it? I don't think any of us want to suffer. But do you want to be pure? I think there's no question about that in any heart here. It's a given for every one of us. That's one of our goals. And frankly, I think it is probably one of the top goals. And it says, the work is most trying to the soul, but it is only through this process that the defiling impurities can be removed. And it is necessary. There is no other way to bring us close to our Heavenly Father in obedience to his will except going through this process. And I challenge you to welcome that. And that isn't easy. Ministry of Healing, page 471. This continues the same theme, folks. In his providence, he brings persons into different positions and varied circumstances that they may discover in their character the defects which have been concealed from their own knowledge. He gives them opportunities to correct these defects and to fit themselves for his service. Is the long-term goal worth it? That's the unavoidable question. He brings us into these positions because he knows we need this. Did you realize how little you know about your own self? This can be very discouraging, but it can also be enabling. When you realize that there can be a problem and you don't even know what the problem is, it's sort of like going to the doctor when you just don't feel good, but you don't know what's causing it. And living in this life, you know that life isn't perfect, and you probably have a recognition that you aren't perfect. Oh, I don't like to use that word. I don't like it because it implies things that most of us in this life are going to continue to struggle with until Jesus comes. It does mean mature. It does mean accepting everything that God has given you as knowledge. And when you have accepted what he has given you and moved forward with it, exercising in faith his motivation to be what he wants you to be, I consider that maturing in him. And that is what the word in the Bible times usually meant, was mature, perfect at every stage of development. This isn't something that has a finished product until we are with God. Often he permits the fires of affliction to assail them that they may be purified. The Lord allows his chosen ones to be placed in the furnace of affliction to prove what temper they are of and whether they can be fashioned for his work. So there's a purpose. There's a goal. Is it your goal? That's what the question has to be answered in your own mind, in your own heart. I think for everyone sitting here today, this is true. It is your goal. Is it your highest goal? Are you willing to go through that process to achieve his goal for you? He is growing each of us. Are you aware of growth in your own life? Are you? That is something each of us has to have every day, growth in our own lives. Now, are you doing it? No. Well, let's take a look at the process. He is testing. That word test was in the quotation before us. He is strengthening, building that rope from threads to string, to a rope that he can hold us up with. And he is softening us. I know of a few friends in the Christian world that are very, very, very concerned with obedience. Obedience on their own part, and obedience on the part of others. They have little patience and little compassion for others that don't obey. And I can sympathize with them to some extent because sometimes I don't like it when somebody pulls right in front of me in cars and I have to jam on my brake. Well, maybe there's a reason they are in a hurry and I don't understand it. I need to be able to see things from somebody else's point of view. I need to recognize that my priorities aren't necessarily everybody else's priorities. And God has his own way of redirecting our priorities if we'll allow him to. And if you remember what our ultimate goal for the judgment is, did you take care of those that needed to be taken care of? Not, did you pay your tithe? Did you attend every meeting? But, did you take care of my children? We need to have that compassion, that patience with people that, just like us, are still a work in progress. God's not done with me yet. He's not done with any of us yet. We all have growth to achieve. He is growing us. Forgiveness is another one. And that one is a little harder. And I've had personal experience with having to forgive things that were very, very, very difficult. And it is a relief when you can. When you do, you remove from yourself a burden that you do not need to carry. You can give it back to God because He's the ultimate forgiver anyway. It's not up to us to condemn. It's up to us to not feel imposed upon, or I guess there's no other word for it, because when somebody does something that we need to forgive them for, it's because they've done something we didn't want them to do. And we need to be able to forgive. When you get to the point where you can trust Him to give you all of those attributes, the compassion, the patience, the forgiveness, to grow in Him, it's time to depend on Him. And depending requires the one just before this, the trust. Lamentations 3. The Lord is good to those who depend on Him, to those who search for Him. Depending assumes that you're going to be able to trust that He will do what you need for Him to do. And it is given to those, the good from God is given to those who search for Him. That part of the search we have to explore as well. In each circumstance of life, what do you ask Him? What do I ask Him? I have three questions here. Which of these questions do you ask? Maybe you're discouraged, or maybe you're in a panic. What do I do now, God? Maybe more thoughtfully, you'd ask, what do you want me to do now, God? That's better, isn't it? Or maybe you will recognize that only He has the necessary power, and you ask in faith, what are you going to do now, God? Do you see the direction? We really don't have the power to do anything other than what He gives us power to do. And it's Him doing it, whether it's through us or through some other agency, that solutions occur. So, no matter what that circumstance in your life is, it's best to go directly and ask Him, what are you going to do about this, God? I trust You. Now share with me. What are you going to do? And trust that He will do it. I find that difficult at times. I'm in a hurry up and fix it mode most of the time in my life. You know, us guys, we're fixers. We have solutions. We have tools. Well, the tools that God uses may be a little bit different. So, let's come back to the point. In times of stress or distress, is turning to Him my first response or my last desperate gasp when I've exhausted all my efforts? How do I learn? How do you learn to depend on Him first, to make Him your first, your go-to solution provider? Here's how. Feed on His word. You know the story about what you feed most grows most. Whether that's intellectual or physical or emotional, whatever it is, if you give it what it needs to grow, it's going to develop. It's going to get stronger. Reflecting Christ, page 65. This is one of the compilations from Ellen White's writings. The more you study the character of Christ, the more attractive will he appear to you. He will become as one near you, in close companionship with you. Your affections will go after him. If the mind is molded by the objects with which it has most to do, then to think of Jesus is to talk of him will enable you to become like him in spirit and character. You will reflect his image in that which is great and pure and spiritual. You will have the mind of Christ, and he will send you forth to the world as his spiritual representative. Depend, and there will be results. Depend on him, and what does he offer you? His thought process, his mind. One of the other translations of that quotation from the Bible about the mind of Christ says, you will have the attitude, let this attitude be in you. Your mood, your attitude, your whole thinking process about life, it can be what Jesus was. He will give you what you need. You will reflect his image in that which is great and pure and spiritual. You will have the mind of Christ. Those are phenomenal words and phenomenal promise. Recognize his guidance in all of this. Proverbs 1:5, let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those with understanding receive guidance. He's saying, you can learn something yet, folks. You need to learn something yet. And be confident in his strength. I love Psalm 46. Verse 1 says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Times of trouble, that might be from Satan, and it might be God saying, you've got some learning to do. You've got some purifying to do. He's with you during that. Revelation 7:12. Listen to this, or read this, series of words that culminate in the final. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. When he has something like that he wants to give you, don't turn him down. Then, finally, experience his presence. Experience his presence. Because of Christ and our faith in him, we can now come boldly and confidently into God's presence. So you can go to him. Psalm 16, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever. That's a wonderful experience, folks, and he's offering it to every one of us. So you can depend on him for victory. Rejoice in experiencing his purpose. We bring it around to the beginning, back again. The path to purpose. Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We just read that in another form. Reflecting Christ, page 65, you will have the mind of Christ, and he will send you forth to the world as his spiritual representative. That's one of his goals for you. Are you ready for it?